Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so yesterday we mentioned that the pasuk of second pasuk, or the first pasuk of the second chapter of Kriyat Shema, contains the mitzvah of tefillah, li'avdo b'chol levavchem v'chol nafshchem v'ayem shemot tishmur mitzvah yishanich mitzvah yom li'avaz shem v'chem li'avdo b'chol levavchem v'chol nafshchem. So it's interesting that the one pasuk in the Torah that describes tefillah is juxtaposed to nature patterns, weather patterns, rain. V'nesati mitarat sechem b'itao yirel makosh v'yasavta digonecha v'tiroshcha v'yitzarecha. Again, in a general way, and I'll talk about this in a few moments, the overall read of the section is if you follow Hashem's mitzvos, then the reward will be success and prosperity and welfare. But in the more micro juxtaposition, so if you read the psukim much more specifically, there's a juxtaposition between davening and rainfall. And you would think that general weather patterns, general agricultural cycles, they're built into nature. They're part of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the systems that govern our universe and more particularly govern this planet. And when you peer into the delicacy of all these systems, the temperature, the physics, the chemistry, these are all very, very delicately calibrated. And you'd think that to a degree, they operate on their own. And yet this parasha reminds us that as much as it appears to us to be built into nature, it's a function of not just human behavior in general, but specifically davening. So we daven for rainfall. We daven for Mashiv Aruch Amarad HaGashem, Sing Talamata Levracha, Givoros Keshavim, and of course when we don't experience rainfall, then there's an elaborate system of Tanios that we establish, which are pivoted on extra davening to elicit. So the very, very, I say, intimate nature or close juxtaposition between our tefillos and not just rain. Rain is more of a metaphor, although it's rain in particular. But see, overall management of our world is driven by not just human behavior, but it's also driven by human prayer. Or in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, by korbanos. The korbanos had a universal effect. They weren't just intended to achieve atonement or to create a relationship between the individual Jew and the Beis HaMikdash, or even Am Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash was at the heart of the proper functioning of this world. Our world is falling because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Getting close to Tisha B'Av, the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was the darkest and bleakest day, not just in Jewish history, but in human history, because Hashem's presence was distanced from this world. And the way this world was, so to speak, exposed to greater cataclysms and greater mishaps and bleaker and more tragic circumstances. Now, what's also interesting about this pasuk is the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response both to our tefillos as well as to our general behavior. If you daven and or you perform the mitzvos, doesn't say there will be rainfall and the land will prosper. But Hashem is personally involved. V'nasati mitar artzechem v'ito yareel makosh. Now, there are two interesting parts about that personal involvement. Number one, if we follow mitzvos and adhere to Hashem's will, then there's a personal involvement. V'nasati. If we don't follow the commandments, in the end, Yishem alechem pen yiftel v'avchem esartem, then Hashem is not being described as the intimate punisher, but just it will happen. You'll be lost in the land won't give its produce. So when we prosper, there's a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He pays attention, you feel his presence. When we suffer, it's more a factor of feeling Hashem's distance. Not that Hashem is punishing us, but that Hashem has withdrawn from our world. And the greatest punishment is Hester Panim, where Hashem has withdrawn, and now the world is random and capricious and disorganized, and that's of course paralleling the description in Parshas in the Tocha, Aster Panai, and I will withdraw my attention. So there's an offset between Vinasati Mitarat Sechem B'Yitel Yerel Makosh, as opposed to Hishem Olechem Pen Yiftel V'Avchem V'Avadetem Mirami Alar Tzatuvah. Not that I will expunge you, that you will be expunged from the land. Second of all, and this is the drasha of Chazal, the reason Hashem writes Vinasati is it sounds almost workmanlike. This is more or less the language of the Sifri. If you attend to your responsibilities, Hashem says, I will attend to my responsibilities. You do yours, and it's reciprocity. And it reminds us that sometimes the higher relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to expect reciprocity and to daven for reciprocity. We often feel more comfortable davening based on non-deservedness. We're meaningless, we're puny, our merits don't warrant anything, but Hashem, please give us your free love and your free intervention. Where sometimes we can daven and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've done your expectations, we've fulfilled your expectations, now we have the right to come to you with expectations and to ask them to be fulfilled. That sounds more audacious, but sometimes it's a healthier way to daven and to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it raises expectations in your own lifestyle. It's easier to hide and say, I don't have any expectations of myself. I'm not going to live that type of lifestyle. I'm not going to ask Hashem for reciprocity. I'll just beg for my daily bread, so to speak. Think of it in terms of people who are beggars or volitional beggars, or people who are workers. People who work enter a world of expectation and obligation, but then they have the right to salary or to certain benefits. People, sometimes it's easier for them just to be unconditional recipients and beneficiaries. Sometimes people who are in prison have a hard time living on the outside because they become so dependent on other people's munificence and benevolence, it's hard for them to have expectations of themselves because everything's been handled for them. So sometimes in our relationship with Hashem, we fall so too quickly into this position where we don't deserve, we ask even though we don't deserve. But that modality diminishes expectations of self because you're always stuck into that position where you don't deserve and you're only asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his free love and his free kindness. Whereas if we're able to enter into a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's bilateral and reciprocal, so then it raises expectations in our own life, but it also gives us a voice with Hashem that is desirable to Hashem. Hashem wants us to come and say, we've worked really hard. We've returned to Eretz Yisrael. We've shown, I hear sometimes people say, Niskatnu Hadaros, where the generations are reducing. Every generation is less than the previous generation. I don't think it's true in general. I think it's a very dangerous attitude to take. But I'll give you one example. I think the commitment and the heroism that our generation has shown in settling the land of Israel and returning to Israel is something we should be proud of as a generation. Again, it's hard to compare other generations because they didn't have this opportunity. But I don't think they were lesser than previous generations in the type of devotion we've shown to Eretz Yisrael. So now we can turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, we've returned to Eretz Yisrael. We're struggling to be here. Please reciprocate our activities and our commitment with your hashgacha, with your supervision. Baruch Hashem, we feel that he is. It's just, it's amazing to think, scary to think about how many terror cells are planning as we're talking right now. Various dastardly activities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is helping us avoid and catch and deter as best as we can. So that whole voice is captured in the second parasha of Kriyat Shema. Hashem says, if you do yours, this is the language of the Sifri, if you do your expectations, if you fulfill them, v'nesati, it's not that you'll receive it as a reward, it's just you have the right then to elicit and to demand, v'nesati mitaretzichem b'yitar yurel makosh yisafta digonecha. It's more like a contract and not just us petitioning and begging and supplicating for something we don't deserve. So those are some of the things to think about in this pasuk. The juxtaposition of tefillah to natural macro ecological patterns, not just specific, but the entire earth is driven by human behavior and, of course, human prayer. Number two, when we prosper, it's a personal touch of Hashem, and you can sense the personal touch. It's not just general rainfall, but it's almost very delicate. We're not farmers, so we don't appreciate the differences in rain. Right? But there's different types of rain. Even though we're not farmers, we can appreciate when rain is dangerous, when rain is unhealthy. We saw it about a month ago where people were killed, unfortunately, because of rainfall that was unexpected. It wasn't at the appropriate time, was too large. So even we appreciate that rain has to be calibrated. But if you were a farmer, you'd be able to be more specific and more precise when it rains, what time of day, what time of season. So Hashem says, I'll provide it in a very, very personal and precise fashion. Mitar artzechem b'ito, yoreh or malkosh. Without describing the differences, there are three types of rainfall. Matar, yoreh, malkosh. When we're punished, it's Hashem withdrawing. Not that I will destroy you, but you will become evicted from the land. And then finally, that there's a reciprocity that's on display here, that if you fulfill mitzvahs, then you have the right to expect that I will personally attend to my responsibilities that I promised you. Okay, tomorrow we'll talk about Hasidus, but in Mitzvah Shem on Thursday, we'll talk about the famous machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, How to read the pasuk v'yasaf tadig av yitzaracha. Should you learn Torah or should you work? Very famous pasuk. Good morning, everyone. Have a good day. Maybe a little rainfall. Yesterday was a little drip, so not today. It's hard in the summer to get in the hole. Yes, sir. Okay. Have a good day, everyone. She was getting quieter. It's the last month. So I have to do it.
If you had one piece of advice, maybe it's neglected. In the last month, what would it be?
I would say try to have a healthy balance between enjoying the different pace. It's nice to meet people who wouldn't otherwise get a chance to meet. A lot of visitors are going to come in, alumni, people, groups. So enjoy the Yom Yom B'Tanach that week. So don't expect it to be like Charizman, but there's a certain appeal of having a smaller group. It's really, a lot of people tell me it's like their best month in Yeshiva, you'll see. On the other hand, don't let the slow pace reduce your intensity and drive. Try to hit that balance. And like, if it's really eating away at your focus, then you have to make a correction. But if there's just new opportunities and you should take a little bit of time to enjoy them and meet new people, be prepared. Don't try to recreate horrors and everything. Don't use that as a slow formula. So it's a balance, but try to hit that balance. See if I can have you over for Shabbos. I think this is my last Shabbos. Yeah. I'll be in England. No, my last Shabbos said yes, in England. And then bar mitzvah for my brother. And then my father's going to be in the hospital, so I have to be in the hospital for Shabbos. And then he's having surgery, so I'm just very busy with his care. He's in a wheelchair, so very involved. So I think it's my last Shabbos. So I guess let's see if we can. Okay.
I've got my last one.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Bye 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 bye.